Today is Mother's Day, and we're proud of each mother that's here, and we praise God for godly mothers. When I look back and I think of my mother and the instruction I received from her, the care that she had for the family, I can only say, as it was in my own family, that everyone here present is indebted in one way or another to his mother. Every time I see a criminal, and I go to prison occasionally, and I started preaching going to prison as a teenager just to tell poor sinners how to be saved. But whenever I see a criminal, I'm reminded that one day that person was a baby in the arms of his mother. Never thought it would turn out that way. Never intended to turn out that way at all. But then on the other hand, every time I see a godly man, every time I see a boy or a girl that's courteous, and courtesy is a great thing, you know. I was to visit Larry Troxler this week a few times, and you know, I've never yet heard that boy call me Phil. I don't mind people calling me Phil, by the way, but I've never heard it. Every time he has always said, Mr. Baumberger, I have never heard him say that anything else. That tells me a lot about his mother and dad. And when I think of godly children, and I see their parents in the children, memories of mothers who brought us up under the counsel of the Word of God for their precious memories. And what a delight to have parents who love the Lord. And it is written of mothers, a child left to his own bringeth his mother to shame. Because mothers have that privilege in the early stages of life to impart truth. And we thank God for godly mothers. Now today we want to examine a mother from the Word of God. And I'm going to invite you to read with me four passages of Scripture at four different places. And we want to notice not only the blessing that this mother was, but we want to look at the mistakes she made, but also the great mission that she accomplished. Here's a great woman. I want you to turn with me, first of all, to the Gospel by John, chapter 19. John 19. And we want to begin reading at verse 25. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. I invite you to the Gospel by Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15, and we begin our reading at verse 40. We want to read verses 40 and 41, where we read, There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, Lales, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. One more passage, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, and we begin our reading at verse 20. Matthew, chapter 20, verse 20, where we read, Then came unto him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him, and desiring a thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answering said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning for the riches of divine grace, the manifold deliverances that you have given your people down through the ages. And whenever you would deliver your people, you always began with a baby. Whether it was Israel from Egypt with Moses, or Israel from the hands of the Philistines with Samson, or whether it was a world of poor sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we think of a baby, we think of mothers. Oh, we thank you, our God, for each mother present today. And we ask you to graciously minister to them. As we examine this blessed character from Holy Scripture, we ask that these dear mothers may see something and a reflection of their own desires for their own children. And may the children that are present so think of their mothers, for the Lord Jesus' sake and glory, who cared for his mother. Amen. Today we want to consider together this woman, Salome, of Scripture. There are two women by that name in the New Testament. It's an amazing thing when you study your Bible. One of the laws of Bible study is when something appears twice, they usually stand in contrast the one to the other. And so it is with the two Salomes of the New Testament. There is a Salome who was wicked. She was the one who danced that lewd dance before Herod the king, and then demanded that John the Baptist be beheaded. In contrast to her, there is this other Salome of Scripture. She's spoken of as one who came to the sepulcher of our Lord in Mark 16. She's one who was there by the cross with her sister Mary, according to John chapter 19 and Mark chapter 15. And also, she's the one who had two great sons. Now, I want you to notice a number of things about Salome. And I'm going to give you the outline first, so when I get to the last point, you know that I'm not going to be too long until I'm finished. We want to look at, first of all, the man she married. Motherhood begins with marriage, usually. And that's God's order, the man she married. Then second, the mother she became. And then third, the mistake she made. She made a mistake. We read about it in Matthew chapter 20. Now, I'll tell you, after thinking this passage over, I'm not too sure it was a big mistake. The more I think about it, but we'll call it that in the outline because that's the way it appears in Scripture. Then, fourth, the message she heard. The message she heard. And then finally, the mission she accomplished. Let's think of this in relation to our mothers who that we can rejoice together today and honor them. First of all, the man she married. This woman, Salome, is one of those people in Scripture that unless you compare Scripture with Scripture, you wouldn't come up with a man that she married, because her husband is usually spoken of in relation to the sons and in relation to her. She was the wife of Zebedee. That is the man that she married. Now, she was identified as a sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 25, when you compare that passage with Mark's gospel. She was there by the cross. But always in Scripture, she is called the mother of Zebedee's children. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, the passage that we read, it is such. The man that she married. And what a privilege. Marriage is a great thing. The greatest day of my life, apart from the day I was saved, was the day I got married. What a blessing it was in my life, the man she married. But then the second thing that we want to notice is the mother that she became. Two of her sons. Can you imagine? Here is a woman that God selects two of her sons to become disciples of Christ. God selected two of those sons, the same two, not only to become disciples, but to become part of that inner core of his disciples. These two boys of hers were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the Lord in all his glory. Can you imagine that? To be the mother of two boys, who would stand on the Mount of Transfiguration and see the Lord transfigured and hear the voice from heaven, the voice of the Father himself. So great was the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter never forgot it. For when he writes his second epistle, he says, we were with him on the Mount. We beheld his glory. And after that, he said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. When we talk about the power and coming of the Lord, he said, I'm not talking about a fable. This is reality. I was there on the mountain. I beheld his glory. And here's a mother who had two boys who were given that honor of being on the mountain with the Lord. Furthermore, she was a mother who had two boys who were with the Lord that night in Gethsemane and heard him pray. The night our Lord was betrayed, that our Lord was betrayed. Now every mother, I don't care who the mother is, she has the greatest desires for her children. And Salome was no exception. And that's what led to the mistake that she made. You see, I don't know of a mother who, when they look at their children, don't have the greatest of desires. And I'll tell you this. I don't know of a grandmother who, when they look at their grandchildren, don't have the greatest of desires. I tell you, it's great to have grandchildren. You have the greatest of desires. Now, I want you to notice that passage in Matthew 20 that we read. It was the longest of the passages that we read. The first thing she does, she worships. She came worshiping the Lord with her son. My, isn't it great to see a mother and her children worshiping? And she's worshiping the right one. She's worshiping the Lord of glory. There's nothing more precious than to have memories of a mother who had the greatest of desires, and coupled with the greatest of desires was a worship of the Lord himself. Furthermore, why shouldn't she worship? She had seen the boys, and she knew that the boys had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. She knew that wherever the Lord of glory was, and he was here, when he was here in his earthly sojourn, these three, Peter, James, and John, and James and John were two of her boys. Now, she saw this inner circle of the disciples. Now, it wasn't that our Lord chose that inner circle, but they chose to be near the Lord. And this has a lot to say for the mother. These boys knew the right choice. And they made it. And that goes back to their mother. Now she comes to the Lord and she comes with her request. And here's where most think she makes her mistake, you see. And You know, the reason we think it was a big mistake is because in verse 24, when the 10 heard it, the other disciples, they were moved with indignation against these two boys. Well, the mother made the request. And she requested that the one sit on the right hand and the other on the left in glory. See, she's a woman who delighted in the thought of the kingdom. And she's a woman who believed in prayer. She not only knew what our Lord taught in the Sermon on the Mount regarding the prayer, "Thy kingdom come," she believed it. And she had the greatest of desires for her boys. If our Lord's going to come in the kingdom, then I'd like to see one of my boys on the right hand and one on the left. Can you think of anything better than to sit on either the right hand or the left of the Lord in glory when he reigns in his kingdom? This was a desire that Salome had. Now our Lord answered. He said, "Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And our Lord is speaking of the cross. And you know, the more I study this passage, they turn to the Lord and they say, "We are able. We are able." Now I'm going to come back to that in a little while. But that's what they say. And then our Lord said, "Well, you surely shall drink of the cup. And you shall be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But now you request. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it's not mine to give. It's for those that have been chosen by my Father. My Father chooses who will sit on the right hand and on the left." Now, when you get to John chapter 19, and we read about the crucifixion of our Lord, and these women that are standing with Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the cross. Now our Lord is reigning in John 19. He's reigning not from a glorious kingdom that Salome had in mind for her two boys, but he's reigning from a tree of agony. He's reigning from this. I wonder what she thought about. I wonder what went through her mind. She must have thought, "Oh, I never thought that his life would come to this kind of an end. I was expecting a glorious kingdom." And when we think of our blessed Lord looking at those women from the tree of Calvary, what a rebuke that becomes to our worldliness, to our cheap values, to our competition. And there was a bit of that in Matthew chapter 20, and because we see it in the 10 who became indignant over the request that Zebedee's wife made. How this rebukes our bragging. You see, friends, our Lord isn't riding into the kingdom on the coattails of some celebrity. And we need to be careful in our day. If someone is a celebrity in somewhere and then they give a little testimony, they get a big audience and give a weak testimony most of the time. Our Lord isn't riding into popularity on the coattails of a celebrity. You see, some of us get the idea that if some celebrity trusts Christ, then he must be all right. My dear friend, our blessed Lord is a Lord of glory, whether celebrities acknowledge him or not. And this is something that Salome learns that day as she looks up at the cross. Our Lord didn't come to make us happy. Our Lord came to make us holy. And when he makes us holy, it is then that we are truly happy. And apart from holiness, there is no genuine happiness. You see, the way to the crown, the way to the kingdom, is by the way of the cross. And Salome needed to learn the words of that hymn that we sing occasionally, "Must I be carried to the skies on Ferrari Benjamins, while others thought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. Are you able to drink of the cup? Is the question of the Lord. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Ah, what a blessing. What must have gone through her mind that day as she looked up at the cross where our Lord was reigning, not from a throne of glory, but from a tree bearing sin and scoffing rude, a substitute for sinners, in order that poor sinners might be able to enter into the kingdom of God. This is what it took to enter the kingdom, the death of Christ, a redemption from sin. Oh, what a lesson she learned that day. Let's think of the message that she heard. Mark 16 that we read. Salome was one of the women who came early to the sepulcher of our Lord the first day of the week. What message did she hear? She heard he's risen. The tomb is empty. She's risen. She was there when he was on the cross. She gave care. She heard the Savior care for his mother from the cross. When he looked at her boy, John, and her son took the mother of the Lord to his own home and cared for her. Oh, there's a great lesson in this. You see, it's relationships that are so important. All the blessings of relationship. A relationship with the Lord of glory. A relationship with earthly parents. But now, she who believed in a coming kingdom and wanted her sons was a witness to the power of the King in resurrection glory. Oh, what a message she heard that day. And what a message we heard today. And what a message we entered into when we sang, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. For I know who holds the future. Ah, why? But because we know him. Relationship. What a message this woman heard. Now, the mission that she accomplished. This is point number 5, believe it or not. The mission that she accomplished. You know what happened to her two boys? James was killed by King Herod. Acts chapter 12. He's the first martyr. Our Lord said to them, are you able to drink of the cup? Are you able to be baptized? And the answer is yes. We're able. And James was a stalwart witness for the Lord. If you read the Antonicene Fathers, and you get a glimpse of the witness of James to King Herod, and King Herod couldn't take it. He had him beheaded. The first martyr. The mission she accomplished. Can you imagine a mother with a greater mission? But then the other son, John. The two sons. Her other son, John, gave us the gospel account that we is called by his name, the gospel by John, which depicts our Lord as the sovereign Son of God, the only Son of the Father. He gave us the gospel account. More than that, he gave us 3 epistles. He was used of God to write to the family of God, the first epistle of John, and tell the family of God how they can know that they're born of God, how that they can be sure and know that they're the Lord's. Then he wrote to the elect woman, that lady with her children that you read about in 2 John. And then you read that letter of 3 John where he writes to his beloved brother Gaius. This woman's son. You talk about accomplishing a mission. Here's a woman that accomplished a mission. But then John also wrote the book of the Revelation, the book that reveals the truth concerning the absolute coming again of our blessed Lord and gives us the truth of that kingdom. And we read in Revelation, the kingdom of our Lord or the kingdoms of the earth are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Oh, what a portion. Here's a mission that she accomplished, and it was her son who gave us this truth. When we look at this woman, her desires are fulfilled. Now, they weren't fulfilled in exactly the way she wanted them, but they were fulfilled. Now, I'd like to go back to that little passage in Matthew chapter 20 for a moment. Just a moment. Last night, before I went to bed, I again read this passage. I said, Lord, there must be more here than I'm seeing. And as I was looking at this passage, I looked at what our Lord said about it. In verse 23, he said to these boys with their mother, ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with a baptism that I'm baptized with. Ye shall. And you know, when I look over the family of God, every one of us drinks of that cup and he's baptized with that baptism. For when I get to Romans chapter 6, I read this concerning the baptism our Lord is speaking about, the baptism of the cross. He says in Romans chapter 6, these words, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. God had only one son without sin, but he does not have any sons without suffering. And there is a cup for everyone. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here's a woman, a mother. The mother of Zebedee's children. These two boys, known so well to those who read the Word of God, are accomplished a great mission. Her boys were with the Lord. They honored Christ. They were used of God. Now, one question in closing. Mothers, what are your desires for your children? Are they worldly? Or are your desires for your children that they adorn the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ? What are they? That is what's important. For everything else is going to fail. Everything else is going to fail. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Let's sing together number 343. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas of Like a River Glorious is God's Perfect Peace, Over All Victorious in a Stride Increase. And you know, for those of us, as we honor mothers today, there's nothing better than that a heart that is stayed upon Jehovah. But then the heart is fully blessed. And then that final stanza, every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. You know, it may appear that this woman, Salome, made a big mistake. But in reality, He had a mission that was accomplished. And God honored her. And you and I enter into the very blessing that she provided to her sons.